Up next on Central Coast Voices, last year, the Community Environmental Council announced it is the proud recipient of a competitive grant to monitor and share findings on air pollution, wildfire smoke, and pesticide exposure at the neighborhood level throughout Guadalupe and Santa Maria Valley. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call in and be part of the discussion at 805-549-8855 or email your questions at voices@kcbx.org. Today, our host is Lata Morty. Hi, Lata. Let's get started.
Thank you, Donna. Have you ever wondered how air quality is measured? What is the air quality like in one of the major regions of California's Central Coast, Santa Maria Valley, and Guadalupe? And who is helping to measure it? Here with me today to answer those questions are Alan Diaz-Correa, Climate Justice Associate with the Community Environmental Council, and Javi Infante Varas, co-founder, lead Spanish translator and interpreter, and service coordinator with Rooted Language Services. Welcome, Alan and Javi. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So I'd like to start by having each of you talk a little bit about your organizations and what you do with or for the organizations. Alan, tell us about the Community Environmental Council, or CEC.
Thank you. The Community Environmental Council is a tri-county-wide organization, and CEC, or the Community Environmental Council, have really been leading our region to reverse climate change, repair the damage, and protect our local communities, especially frontline communities, from extreme weather impacts. The Community Environmental Council has a lot of relationships throughout the county. One of them is with Rooted Languages, and so I can let Abby talk about Rooted Language Justice.
Hi, thank you, Lata. Thank you, Alan. So our front-facing name is Rooted Language Justice, or sometimes Rooted Language Services. And we are a team of translators, interpreters, and language justice consultants, helping a lot of organizations bring in language inclusivity and diversity, equity, inclusion practices into the work that they're doing. So for this project in particular, we're helping disseminate information in Spanish and setting goals to hopefully share that information in multiple languages across the Central Coast.
Great. So, Alan, tell us some more about your specific role as a climate justice associate.
Sure. So as the climate justice associate, you know, I kind of work a lot with community members directly and with a lot of community organizers. And so I help coordinate meetings, kind of seek new coalitions to join. And really, kind of when I started at the Community Environmental Council, my role was initially as a community ambassador. And so I still see that in my current role. So I advocate for CEC policies, but I also advocate on behalf of the community members to get programs like this community air monitoring project funded and then implemented.
And what's your role in that, Javi, as lead Spanish translator and interpreter and service coordinator?
Justice is assisting the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project in expanding their multilingual reach. We have been translating all of the promotional material, all of the things that are going to be shared with the community, including the website, including flyers and pamphlets that are going to be shared into Spanish, and also briefing the team, the entire team putting this wonderful project together on just language inclusivity.
So most people don't think of a language organization and a climate organization partnering and coming together. So how did that happen? Who reached out to whom? How did that come about?
I believe my business partner and good friend Naira, who is from Santa Barbara and has been working a lot of with the communities in the Central Coast and in the region, connected with the Community Environmental Council some years ago. And once we began Rooted Together, a lot of projects came in, and CEC contracted with us to help them, again, implement language justice practices internally and externally, and really reach the communities that are often left out of these conversations about environmental justice, right? So it's almost like a lot of different social justice issues sort of overlapping each other, and us creating those bridges in the work that we're doing.
Alan, do you have something to add about that partnership?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of how this project got started really was through organizations like the Little House and the Community Changers doing direct work with farm workers. Farm workers and, you know, different groups like the Global Environmental Justice Project actually led some interviews asking about, you know, community concerns, air quality concerns, and just general health. That actually was the starting point for this project. And so from there, we reached out to Rooted Languages to make sure that all of our technical information was not just translated, but, you know, accessible and made sense to our communities. Another important partner to this project is Blue Tomorrow. Blue Tomorrow are an environmental consultant group. They're actually the ones doing all of the data analysis, building the monitors, developing the website. And so there's a lot of technical expertise there, but we also want to make sure that all of the information isn't just translated directly, but accessible.
Very good. So let's talk some more about the project itself. It's the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project, right? So let's break that down a bit. I'm going to dial it back. And before we talk about what air monitoring is, I'd like to ask you, Alan, what exactly air quality is? What all goes into air quality?
Yeah, so air quality is actually a really complex issue, but there are many different components to air. One of the things that I really like to point out is that air quality is really dynamic. There's many different parts that make up air, like nitrogen, oxygen, ozone, and even different chemicals, or even things like perfumes that we wear, or again, you know, the smog that comes out of a lot of transportation or industry. So the question about what's in our air, there's actually a lot of things. We really kind of want to take a microscope to really kind of figure out and identify what makes up the different components of air.
So what do we want in our air and what do we not for good air quality?
Yeah, so I mean, one thing we want is oxygen, right? We are human beings and we need clean air to breathe into our lungs. Now, one of the things that we also have to live with is the reality that we live in a chemical world, right? Chemicals and chemistry is all around us. So it's not really a good expectation that we will be free of chemicals. What we really want to do, and what this project is focused on, is identifying which pollutants that affect our health are most important to look at. As a parent and as a community member, those are often the biggest questions. You know, we don't really want to know exactly, you know, the chemicals, but we want to know, is it healthy enough? Am I in danger? Can I go out on a picnic or just on a run? And so that is the questions that we're trying to answer, is how does air quality and pollutants affect our health?
So air quality changes every day.
Air quality changes by the hour and by the second. And, you know, again, where you live makes a huge factor. Air quality, especially around the Central Coast, tends to be quite good. You know, we don't suffer from a lot of the, you know, high smog issues that, you know, big areas like Los Angeles or bigger cities deal with. But that doesn't mean that air quality is perfect everywhere, especially where you live. If you live around industries like agriculture, you know, or oil development, these do, or just a lot of transportation, right? Like if you live by a highway, which with the Central Coast being such a sprawling region, most of our communities are on kind of areas of transport. And so it really depends on where you live. Even if the region is really good air quality, we're trying to ask, how is it on the community level?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I first moved to Santa Maria from the Los Angeles area more than 11 and a half years ago, I kept hearing that the air quality is so much better on California's Central Coast than in Los Angeles, as you yourself said. And I do indeed think it is better, you know, from firsthand experience. So why is it important to measure air quality here on the Central Coast?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important not just to measure air quality, you know, and that's actually one of the misconceptions about this project, is that we're focused solely on measuring and detecting and then regulating. What this project is really intended to do is give the community of Guadalupe and the region the tools to be able to do that. Most of the air quality that is given is regional data. A lot of those monitors are not put in kind of residential areas. You know, we want to know, how does the Central Coast region look like? Not necessarily, you know, the neighborhood around my elementary school. So this project was focused on providing infrastructure, placing the monitors at the local schools and parks. That's only the first half. The real big opportunity for this project is to talk about the effects on our health. And again, this is an issue that community members know. It knows that it affects our health. What they don't have is necessarily the time to talk about it, the time to talk about our stories around air. And so I really want to, you know, highlight the amazing work that Blue Tomorrow is doing for the science and the data monitoring, but the language, the access and communication, that's really important as well.
So can you talk some more about that language, access, and communication, Javi? How is rooted language and language justice helping with the stories and the access to data and the tools for measuring?
Differentiating language access between from language justice, which are two different concepts, right, and practices, and I'll explain them briefly. Language access is making material and information available in the languages that the community needs. But language justice takes it a step further. And like Alan mentioned, is making the information sensible to the communities that it wants to reach, right? Not just translating for the sake of translating and having and complying with probably the language access laws in the area, but just like expanding on that and allowing not only community members to feel included and informed in this, but encouraged and inspired to lead and engage with the organizations leading projects such as these. And like I mentioned earlier, it really opens up a door for these historically marginalized communities to feel empowered enough and informed enough to step forward and say, you know what, I care about environmental justice. I care about the air in my area. I want a better future for my future generations, et cetera. So I think that's where the connect is. It's really looking at the community, not just as people that we have to do a language access compliance piece, but also just making them feel welcome and seen where they live and acknowledge them and their experiences.
I'm Lana Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. The voices with mine today are Alan Diaz-Correa, Climate Justice Associate with the Community Environmental Council, or CEC, and Javi Infante Varas, co-founder, lead Spanish translator and interpreter, and service coordinator with Rooted Language Services. And Alan and Javi are telling us about the Community Environmental Council, Rooted Language Services, and their efforts to improve the environment, particularly air quality at the neighborhood level on the Central Coast. Listeners, how is the environment where you live, particularly the air quality? Please call in and tell us, 805-549-8855, or you can email your questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org. So let's get more into the specific tools that community members are using to measure and monitor, right, their air quality. What's going on there? Alan, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so I would say the number one tool that all community members in the region have is the county tools. Every county has an air pollution control district. If you visit their website, they have text notifications that you can sign up. And if the air quality is ever poor, you can sign up for text notifications and they will send you regular updates as well as potential steps to kind of mitigate your exposure, you know, like taking a shorter walk or taking a shorter run. For this project, we're actually really excited to be developing new tools, again, specifically for the community of Guadalupe. The first one and the biggest one were the air monitors themselves. They were built to do a specific selection of pollutants. So like ozone, volatile organic compounds. And these were chosen so we could actually specifically prioritize which pollutants are we looking at? Which ones are we most concerned at? So that's actually our first big tool. And we have been installing them at Jack O'Connell Park, at Leroy Park in Guadalupe, as well as Kermit McKenzie Schools and the intermediate school, Mary Berrien School as well, elementary in Guadalupe. So these monitors were our first big task, and now they've been collecting data since January 1st. Our next tool that's actually opening up on April 3rd is going to be the monitoring website. This will be bilingual in English and Spanish, but all community members can join. You can go to GuadalupeAir or AIR.com. And on April 3rd, it will be fully open to the public, and you will be able to not only read descriptions of these pollutants, read the health impacts of these pollutants, but you'll also be able to see some pictures, see a map of where each monitor is located. And it will actually tell you using this air quality index. The air quality index is basically a score and a color-coded score that tells you, you know, is it dangerous? Is it unhealthy? Is it safe? And so folks will be able to look at the website and be able to assess just at a glance, you know, what the air quality is like. And if you are into data, if you want to kind of learn what has it been like the past 2 months, the past 2 weeks, we'll also have graphical tools that you can kind of just easily select. Let's go back 2 weeks. Let's go back 3 months. And for the rest of the project, we will be doing community workshops once or twice a year to give you and explain these annual reports. And again, we are committed to providing support in English and Spanish, but we understand that the community of Guadalupe is multilingual. Specifically, Mixtec and Zapotec speakers is a huge area, and that's an area that we actually need help. And so, you know, if there are any partners who are interested in work with the multilingual communities of Guadalupe, you know, there's a lot more that we can do. But as a resident and as a native of Guadalupe, I'm really excited to be providing this tool for my neighbors and my friends, and again, the farm workers who are most impacted and the families who are most impacted by air quality.
Great, so lots to look forward to. And how did you decide on the specific locations of the monitors themselves?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I grew up here in Guadalupe, and I went to school at the University of Montana. So I was gone for about 8 years, but I have a lot of personal experience here. So when I moved and joined with the Community Environmental Council, I was really able to get shown by the community representatives where people hang out, where the sports are. And again, going to schools, I actually went to one of the elementary schools here, Mary Bjorn Elementary. And so I was aware, and many residents are aware, that our schools are actually surrounded by agricultural fields. That's just one industry, right? We also have Highway 1 that directly runs through our downtown, as well as the train that runs parallel. These issues were the biggest reasons of why we knew that parks and schools, which are on the outskirts of our small town, that's why we wanted to focus on them, is because they're right in that area with all of the overlapping industry. And we also understand that community members are busy, right? They don't necessarily have the time to go to the air pollution control office. And so we wanted to make sure that we put these monitors on sites where it's relevant to them, right? Where they go to school, where they go to the parks, where they enjoy their time off. And so that's why we chose those areas. But we're actually going to look forward to asking community members, should we move them? They're pretty easy to move. But again, we chose the parks and the schools as our first community priority.
So was rooted language a part of that, deciding with the community where to place these monitors? Javi?
No. No. Go ahead, Javi.
Release for Blue Tomorrow and CEC working together. We really have been focused on translating the website, make sure it reaches the Spanish-speaking community in Guadalupe, and creating all the promo material for that. So really working closely in collaboration with Blue Tomorrow and CEC, and the team has been a great opportunity. But it is super exciting for us to learn that, you know, that every decision is taking the community into account, truly. And so even with the location of each monitor, right? So.
And I know, Lara, you asked about who decided. And, you know, we actually got and were led by the work of Mireya Piña and Dina Montague. You know, they're the ones who did the interviews of the community members. And those meetings with them, you know, with the Family Service Agency, with the groups like the Little House and Los Amigos de Guadalupe, and working with the city, they were really our partners in helping decide, you know, can we put them up on the school grounds? The Guadalupe Union School District, they were also another great partner that helped us decide where to put them kind of in each school. Also, so kids can see them. Because as exciting as this is on kind of an environmental, climate, you know, heady topics, ultimately, you know, I love science as a kid, and I wanted to share that experience to other kids who live in Guadalupe. And so we're really excited to get them involved, to show them, hey, that air monitor, you know, you're doing the science, right? We're doing the science together. And we want to hear from them and their families, you know, what else they would like. Because again, this project is really iterative.
Oh, that's great. So these air monitors they're not just measuring air quality. They're part of the community and part of Guadalupe student science education. So tell me more about the air monitor itself. How big is it? What does it look like? You said community members could easily remove them, I believe. So tell us about the machinery here.
Yeah, so I can definitely tell you about one of the community members who will be helping us kind of do the maintenance of these monitors. But the monitors are relatively small. They're about a foot by a foot. They're kind of in a small little box, and they're made up of many different components, right? For each thing that you would want to measure, you need a specific component. For like ozone, it has a small little sensor. Thankfully, a lot of these air quality sensors have gotten so small that they allow us to be, you know, either solar powered, which some of our monitors are that are installed, or just, you know, connected directly to a wall plug. We also have kind of little Wi-Fi sensors, so they are actually sending data by the minute. our website will show you kind of hourly updates. And so you really are getting a sense, not just kind of what the raw data is showing, but in accurate information. We also, not only in addition to the four that we have installed in Guadalupe, we actually have a fifth monitor that is installed in the city of Guadalupe, sorry, in the city of Santa Maria and Orchid. And that one monitor is there for reference. And that is to make sure that we are in compliance with the state air pollution and data regulations, and that all of our data is accurate. So yeah, we're really excited about the air monitors, and we're actually excited to be seeking a fellow and a community member to help us. Do the maintenance and do some of the kind of outreach.
Great. So these are sling machines like that.
To Jack O'Connell Park or Leroy Park, you will actually see them on top. They are little boxes, and kind of at the very top, there's actually two little sensors for wind direction and airspeed. And these, even though it's just kind of just telling us the wind direction, are really exciting because you can see them spin around. And even though they're not connected to they are sending the data, they're not motorized. It's so exciting just to see them do the work. And so anytime I drive through Highway 1, I look at each of the monitors. You can actually walk by and you'll see them installed. You'll see those little wind speeds spinning. You'll even see a solar panel that is charging one of the monitors. And so if you go to the parks, you'll actually be able to see them kind of up close.
So Javi, what is it like to translate, it seems like these, maybe not translate always, but interpret these very specific scientific aspects of this into Spanish? So parts of the air monitors themselves, the data, what is that like?
Terms and terminology being used for this project. As far as the translation process, you know, we have a three-step process of translation. So there's a lead translator who begins the first draft, then we have a copy editor or reviewer who looks at that, and then there's a final revision. But the process of finding the terms, looking for what is being used by community, what is being used by official agencies locally who have translated their websites already, we definitely want to source the words being used for these scientific terms at the local level. So it is really important, and it's actually, I'm throwing an industry lingo here when I say localization, right? When we really focus on what terms are being used at the local and regional level. So for example, there may be a word that is used in Mexico or in other parts of Southern America, but we want to pull from what is being used by the community here. And that is also another practice of language justice that makes a difference, which is not just like getting the correct word per se, per, you know, the dictionary or else, but rather to hear what the community is using and utilizing and making that accessible on the website. So it's been really fun to do some research and compare and contrast some of the words being used in different places, and then pulling and making a final decision saying, you know what, this is what reflects what the community uses for this this type of language. So it's been fun.
That does sound really interesting. So Alan, do you have some web information to share for those who want to know more?
Yeah. So on April 3rd, you will be able to visit GuadalupeAir.com. And so when you visit that website, and I've mentioned this before, the first page you'll see will be the air quality index. This air quality index is a tool that, again, reports daily air quality. It uses a simple color-coded scale to tell you how clean or polluted your air is. This gives you kind of a value kind of from 0 to 500, you know, 50 represented kind of good air quality with little potential to affect your health, while an AQI value of over 300, which is would be like a really smoky day, is potentially hazardous air quality. So in addition to the monitors that will kind of give you this up-to-date kind of color or score, you will also be able to see information that not just describes the pollutants, but also tells you what you should do or who needs to be concerned. This tool we got from our partners at the Air Pollution Control District. And this AQI table will basically tell you, depending on the color, who needs to be more concerned. For example, sensitive groups like people with heart disease, lung disease, older adults, or children and teenagers, and what you should do. For example, if it's a great day, you know, go outside and take an extra long run. If it's a hazardous day, you know, probably limit your time outside. But if it's unhealthy for certain groups, you may want to do just some mitigation, right? Take a shorter walk, kind of be prepared. And so one of the things that we really wanted to share is that this website will give you a lot of tools. So there's going to be a lot of information there. We're not asking folks to understand it all at once. We will be here for the next 2 years to work through it together. But if you are ready to go on April 3rd, visit guadalupeair.com and you will be able to see the tool kind of and the website up and running. Up until then, you can visit our website at cecsb.org and you'll be able to learn about the fellowship. So if you are bilingual or multilingual and you live near the Guadalupe area, we are looking for a paid fellow to help us for the next 6 months to do some of this outreach and, again, learn some of this bilingual science education. You know, I studied biochemistry and I was really excited to learn about science, but even talking to my family or my mom was really difficult because I did not have that vocabulary in Spanish to connect the dots. And so I'm really excited that this project and our partners like Javi will help us not just do a direct translation, but allow us to have a conversation.
We are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Donna.
It's 1:33 and it's time to take a look at the KCBX community calendar. The Colise Bookstore in Morro Bay invites you to a book signing of author Peggy Rothchild's book, Playing Dead, on Saturday, March 25th from 1 until 3. In this mystery novel, Molly Madison is back to solve another difficult murder in her California community. For more information, visit colisebookstore.com. Listener support provides the majority of the funds KCBX needs to operate. So please take a moment to renew your support or become a new member now. Your donation will enter you into our Spring Pledge Drive sweepstakes and a chance to win a $500 Visa gift card. For contest rules and to donate, visit kcbx.org or call 800-549-8855 during business hours. And if you are unable to donate, we're looking for volunteers for our upcoming pledge drive next week. If you'd like to volunteer to answer phones, call us at 800-549-8855. It's a great way to support your listener-supported KCBX. Central Coast Voices continues with host Lada Morty. You're on, Lada.
Thank you, Donna. Welcome back. Today on Central Coast Voices, my guests are Javi Infante Varas, co-founder, lead Spanish translator and interpreter, and service coordinator with Rooted Language Services. Also with me today is Alan Diaz Correa, Climate Justice Associate with the Community Environmental Council, or CEC. And we've been talking about the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project and all of the work that Javi, Alan, and their organizations are doing to support this project, as well as support improved air quality throughout Guadalupe and the Central Coast. Do you have any questions about the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project, Community Environmental Council, CEC, or why language and climate justice are related? Call 805-549-8855, or you can email questions and comments to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So before the break, we were talking about what this air monitoring project really means for Guadalupe and why it's important for that community. But what about those of us who live in other places, in other neighborhoods on the Central Coast? What can we learn from the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we will be focused on now that we have built the monitors and have done the website, now for the next 2 years, our big task will be to do the outreach, make the connections with the community, and figure out what their priorities are. So we should be having a school presentation that will share this update with parents and teachers. And we will also be giving updates through community workshops. So all community members will be able to attend. We're still figuring out the details of that, and we will be giving updates. But in the meantime, the first thing will be the website, and we will be hiring that fellow to begin the outreach. People will be start seeing flyers around that describe this project with a QR code to then visit the website.
Javi, what can the rest of the Central Coast outside of Guadalupe learn about language justice and how it relates to climate justice?
Well, I think language justice is such a crucial part of making sure that people are included and taken into account. Their thoughts, their input, their experiences in the languages that they feel most comfortable sharing them in. I think that the connection between environmental justice and language justice is exactly that, is to not only disseminate information and very important information about air quality in the case of this particular project, but to also make community members feel seen and recognized and acknowledged and inspire them to lead and engage in community participation and change, and that they also can be a part of this.
Very good. So what have been your findings so far? What's the data telling you? Are you seeing any patterns?
Well, thankfully, and this is the joke that I've been saying to residents, you know, thankfully it didn't go up in smoke, which if you're a lifelong resident of the Santa Maria and Guadalupe area, that was our first concern, right? Should I be alarmed? And while our data right now is very early, so I can't actually speak on that, what I can say is that right now there is nothing that is dangerous that we are expecting. Obviously, again, air dynamic changes, and especially it changes by the season. So during the summer months, when there is not much rain, and when there is a lot more just transportation, kind of driving around, and a lot of more industries, and just the actual weather of the season, that tends to cause poor air quality. So we should see, you know, the past few months that I've been checking, it's all been green and great, and our rain has been helping that. you know, rain generally does improve air quality. But as we get into our dry summer months, we really will be trying to see kind of what it looks like. Our first report, big report, will be in 6 months and 12 months of data collection. And the reason that that's important is we need a lot of data before we're able to say, this is a pattern, right? Or this is the baseline. What does this winter look like compared to last winter or 5 winters ago? That data is actually missing, right? We don't have that. And that's the big reason why this project is important, is to provide a baseline and something to compare to. Because we don't have that, it is really difficult to say. And again, as a scientist, I always will wait until there's more data. But we will be giving community members an update basically every 6 months to a year. Again, in English and Spanish, but we are working to make sure that all community members have a chance to understand what their air quality is like.
Do you have anything to add to that, Javi?
No, Alan, so well spoken, and we're excited to continue this 2-year-long process to share all this information and hear the community's input, and can't wait to see their excitement when they see that this is not only in English, but it's in Spanish, and that our goal is to reach out to even more communities in the county and the region. So I'm excited to see what comes from this.
It is exciting. So the 6-month mark will be in June of this year, of 2023. Is that correct? And then the 12 month will be the end of 2023?
Exactly. And so we will be trying to do the kind of the big data kind of summary reports in the summer. That will be really early, right? It probably won't have the summer data, but it will give community members a chance to see what have we been looking at the past few months. But between now and then, community members should expect to see, you know, some more radio stations to talk about this, some more newspapers to talk about this issue, and flyers that will explain what this project is and how to access the various tools. Because again, this is just one of many. But again, we are excited to provide something that the community and of Guadalupe has been asking for a long time. We are by no means introducing the idea or the concern of air quality. This has been something that we have known about for a long time. And so I'm excited to give that topic more time.
So if today's listeners in another community want to start a similar project there because their communities are asking for it, how do they start? Where do they begin? What would they do?
Yeah, so for me, as someone who focuses on coalition building, it really is just to begin a discussion, right? And we often do already around the kitchen table, you know, in the mornings. When we see the weather report saying it's going to be rainy tomorrow, right? What do we need to prepare, right? These conversations, many community members and families are already having. What we're asking for is to make it a bigger conversation, right? Talk about it with your friend, your neighbor who is a local representative, right? These are really big, important things. But if the tools are not accessible and if they're not in a language that people are comfortable with, we should not expect them to use it. And so this project is to help community members do that for themselves, right? Again, they are already well-versed in this concern. What they need is tools and support.
And what are some specific tools and support related to language that communities should be aware of, Javi?
Well, first of all, we're, you know, assisting making all of the promotional materials and educational materials into Spanish right now. And as Alan mentioned before, the educational piece, where we'll have workshops and webinars explaining and giving those reports from the air monitors, will be available in Spanish. And we look forward to that, not only having some of these educational sessions interpreted into Spanish, but have someone that is fluent in Spanish maybe speak more at at this in this educational spaces, so that people really feel and embody that this is a multilingual space. This is not an English dominant space only. These are the Spanish speakers who are also wanting to take lead and wanting to share their input in the language that they feel most comfortable and authentic in.
Definitely, because air quality, of course, affects everyone, not just those who speak English or just those who speak Spanish or just those who speak Mixteco. I am Lana Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find this show and many others to choose from. Today I am talking with Alan Diaz Correa, Climate Justice Associate with the Community Environmental Council, or CEC, and Javi Infante Varas, co-founder, lead Spanish translator and interpreter, and service coordinator with Rooted Language Services. We still have a little more time for your emailed questions or comments at voices@kcbx.org. Tell us what you want to know about air quality, air monitoring, and maybe starting your own air monitoring project where you live. So, as we're reaching the last 10 minutes or so of the show, what's the one major takeaway you'd like listeners of this show to remember about air monitoring, about climate justice, which we haven't really talked about in length or at length, or language justice?
Yeah, I would actually say that we have been talking about climate justice for the past 45 minutes. You know, these concerns affect our daily lives and affect our health. Clean air and clean water are climate justice, are community justice, right, and environmental justice. So I would actually say, and grateful to you, Lada, for talking about this for such a long time. You know, clean air is a fundamental right, but air pollution disproportionately impacts those who have been marginalized, people who have less access to these resources and institutional support. And we need to build these resilient communities. Communities like Guadalupe, and I know, being a lifelong resident of Guadalupe and Santa Maria, these communities are resilient. We often rely on our friends and neighbors already. Even during the most recent flooding, which has affected the Guadalupe community significantly, the mayor, as well as other local orgs, have really gathered around and supported these families through, again, something that has been gotten worse because of the impacts of climate change. So clean food, clean air, and clean water are all fundamental rights. That's something that the community of Guadalupe already understands. And so what we're here to do is really provide the community a tool set so they can monitor for themselves and they can better advocate for themselves.
And making that accessible, right? And I mean, not only in mind with, you know, with the needs of those communities who have been historically marginalized, but language being a crucial piece in the access to this information, not only that, education, but part like really engaging these communities and inspiring them to lead and not feel excluded like they have been for so long.
So did language and language access come into play with the funding for this project? Donna had mentioned earlier in the studio at the beginning of the show that there was a major grant funding this project, right? How was a community like Guadalupe or your organizations able to access that grant?
Yeah, you know, again, the Community Environmental Council has been a leader of the environmental movement, specifically in Santa Barbara County, for, you know, since 1970, since the Santa Barbara oil spill. The community of Guadalupe has had similar effects, like the diluent spill that was actually larger and over a 50-year span affecting the lives and the communities around Guadalupe. We noticed two huge different ways of reacting, right? CEC was able to engage after the Santa Barbara oil spill, and we've become leaders in advancing these solutions. Communities like Guadalupe have often been overlooked. And so this project was funded by the California Air Resource AB617 grant. But this project was really, from the beginning, tied to the organizers that do work in Guadalupe. CEC and my role at CEC is to identify these projects and kind of figure out, you know, what would work. And as someone who has worked with these communities, I understood and I heard from them that this is the type of project that they would want to support. And so really, I would just emphasize our partners, like Los Amigos de Guadalupe, like the Little House, like the Guadalupe Senior Center, or the New Boys and Girls Club at Leroy Park. These are the local groups that made this project possible. CEC, you know, we had the time and resources to seek this funding, and thankfully we are leaders and we were able to get and implement this, but it wasn't because of us, it's because of our partners like Rooted Language Justice and Blue Tomorrow.
Wonderful. So what has been the personal impact of this work on each of you, particularly with the air monitoring project? Javi, what has been the personal impact for you?
Really great things that I get to do in the work that I do with Rooted Language Justice is that I get to see the impact that it has on communities. And that makes me, it just feels fulfilling and gratifying to be able to be a sort of an element in the accessibility piece to a project. And not only this project in particular, because we're talking about it, but in the many other organizations that I work with, is really seeing when folks feel comfortable enough, seen enough, heard enough that they are wanting to lead and step up and say, you know, I've been wanting to say this, I've been wanting to hear this, I've been wanting to share my thoughts and my experience. So to me, really, it's seeing the empowerment in our communities through the translation, making this information accessible to them has been the most gratifying part to me. I know the importance of environmental justice. Air quality is, like Alan said, a fundamental human right. And it's just awesome for me to see that the work that I do in my, you know, at home in my little computer has a greater impact in the communities that we serve. So to me, that has been the best part.
And for you, Alan?
Yeah, I would say this project is very personal to me. You know, I would say this project started when I was a student at Mary Bjorn Elementary. I remember being at that elementary school and at Bonita Elementary School, and honestly, literally being surrounded 100% by ag fields. And as a 10-year-old, seeing, you know, agricultural fields being sprayed just a few, you know, hundreds of feet from me. And so I remember thinking about that as a kid and thinking about that with my mom being in the fields, with my other friends and family being in the fields. And all of the other time that I spent with my friends at school learning about education and science and the impacts of all of this, that was really what drew my love of science. You know, that's what drew me to get my biochemistry degree from the University of Montana. But I really wanted to come back for a project exactly like this. Like I said, this community has known about this issue for decades. But often these projects are brought in from people outside of the community. And I am so grateful for people like Javi, for people like Blue Tomorrow and CEC to be bringing in their services and support. but I'm most excited that this project is led by people who live in Guadalupe, like the school district, like the Dune Center, who, that has been doing this work for decades. So even though we're here and I'm doing this work for a couple years, I'm really excited and I find it really personally engaging that we're going to be making new climate scientists out of everyone, right? Not just students, but out of parents, out of moms and dads and farm workers and leadership. And so I'm so excited. And I know that the community of Guadalupe has also been excited. Anytime I talk about this, you know, there's you can just see their smiles, even though they have concerns. You know, this is a project that they recognize is important. So thank you, Lara.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. And thank you, Javi. My guests today were Javi Infante Varas, co-founder, lead Spanish translator and interpreter, and service coordinator with Rooted Language Services, and Alan Diaz Correa, climate justice associate with the Community Environmental Council, or CEC. We've been talking about the Community Environmental Council, Rooted Language Services, climate justice, language access, language justice, and how all of this is connected, particularly in relation to the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project. You can learn more about the Guadalupe Air Monitoring Project at guadalupeair.com. Next week, on Thursday, March 23rd, please join Chris Kington Barker as she speaks with guests from San Luis Obispo County Special Education Local Plan, or SELPA, Amber Gallagher, SELPA Executive Director, and Tricia Lomino, SELPA Program Specialist. They will discuss the mission of SELPA to be capacity builders, facilitators, and connectors for students, families, and member districts within one statewide coherent system of support in which all students are provided inclusive opportunities for continuous improvement, especially those students who are furthest from success. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation between 1 and 2 p.m. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. I am Lada Murti. Thank you for joining us today.